So it is, I think, this request that found a response in the Aryan practice of free social space, a notion that took on a particular congenity in the social movements of this country. What makes this notion significant, in my view, is that it calls into question the traditional oppositions between the necessities of the present and the utopia of the future, or between economic and social harsh reality and the luxury of formal democracy.
Επίσης, νομίζω ότι αυτό το περιεχόμενο, το οποίο αυτό το περιεχόμενο, αυτή η απέτηση για ένα καινούριο κόσμο, εμφανίζεται πάρα πολύ καλά και στη μορφή, στην έννοια του ελεύθερου κοινωνικού χώρου. Μια μορφή και μια έννοια η οποία έχει μια συγκεκριμένη πιστικότητα σε κοινωνικά κινήματα αυτής εδώ της χώρας. Αυτό το οποίο έχει σημασία είναι ότι αυτό δεν βασίζεται στην παραδοσιακή σύγκρουση. Ανάμεσα, δεν ξεπερνάει μάλλον την παραδοσιακή σύγκρουση ανάμεσα στην αναγκαιότητα της σκληρής πραγματικότητας και την πολυτέλεια εντός εισαγωγικών μιας πραγματικής δημοκρατίας.
Free social space wanted to be not only spaces responding to the situations of need, dispossession and distress created by the intensification of the capitalist rule, not only to give shelter, food, healthcare, education, or art to those who were deprived of those goods, but to make it go along with the creation of new ways of being, thinking, and acting in common. Spaces where the very separation of spheres of activity, material production, economic exchange, social care, intellectual production and exchange, social care, artistic performance, etc., starts, this separation starts being questioned. A free social space is also a space where assemblies can practice forms of direct democracy intended not simply to give an equal right to speech to everybody, like in some assemblies in Madrid or Paris, but to make collective decisions on concrete matters.
Αυτοί οι ελεύθεροι κοινωνικοί χώροι είναι ακόμη χώροι όπου μπορούμε να πραγματιστούμε με μορφές άμεσης δημοκρατίας. Μορφές οι οποίες δεν περιορίζονται απλώς στο να δώσουν εισάξιο λόγο στον καθένα, όπως γίνεται, ας πούμε, παραδείγματος χάρη στις συνελεύσεις στη Μαδρίτη, το Παρίσι, αλλά να υπάρξουν συλλογικές αποφάσεις πάνω σε πραγματικά συμπαγή και υπαρκτά ζητήματα.
In such a way, forms of political action tend to be at the same time cells of a new form of life. It is the invention of democratic activities and institutions which are no more tools for preparing a future in anticipation, but manifestation of other forms of life and other modes of thinking in which equality furthers equality. Of course, we know that these cells of a new social life are constantly subjected to internal problems and external threats. This already present future is always at once a precarious present. But it is pointless, I think, to see there the proof that all is vain as long as the global revolution has not taken the power and destroyed the capitalist fortress. This kind of judgment is a way of putting the fortress in our heads, of instituting a circle of impossibility by proclaiming that nothing can be changed before everything has been changed. Emancipation has always been a way of inventing, amidst the normal course of time and over time, another manner of inhabiting the sensible world in common. It has always been a way of living in the present in an overworld instead of deferring its possibility. Emancipation only prepares the future to the extent that it hollows in the present gaps, which are also goals. It by intensifying the experience of other ways of being, living, doing, and thinking. The free social spaces created by the recent movements, in a way, inherit the world forms, cooperatives of production, or forms of popular education created by the workers' movements of the past, and notably the anarchist movements. But our presence can no more share the belief that sustained the forms of self-organization of the past. It can no more, I think, rely on the presupposition that capitalism produces the conditions of its own destruction, and that work constitutes an organic world of the future already in gestation in the belly of the old world. More than ever, the work of equality appears to be the always provisory product of specific inventions. Our present urges us to rediscover that the history of equality is an autonomous history. It is not the development of strategies predicated on the technological and economic transformations. It's a constellation of moments, some days, some weeks, some years, which creates specific temporal dynamics endowed with more or less intensity and duration. The past left us no lessons, but only moments that we must extend and prolong as far as we can. So that's all. Thank you for your patience.
Redefine somehow and express a bit more things on the key idea, let's say, of this public talk, the idea of asymmetry. And also, I was wondering if it is possible somehow in these days of complete indifference for the game, for the play, as a general concept to reinvented and somehow become one of the aspects of the contemporary movements in the 21st century.
So the point is, you know, well, we live in a world which has its own forms of reproduction. So I would say that the world of inequality is already here, you know, and already reproducing its own logic. This means that in a way, you know what, you have to recreate some kind of to recreate a kind of common world, or to recreate a kind of common sense. Really, to create some bridges. There is a normal way the things are, you know, the things go, you know. Equality is basically, you know, a process of action. So there are actions that create some forms of words, so a popular assembly, a free social space, an occupation, cooperative of production, and many things of this kind, you know, are you know, attempts, you know, at creating forms of existence of equality in a world whose dominant rule is inequality. You know? Well, I got this idea from the theory of inter-experimentation of Josette Jacotot, you know, that I studied in the book that was translated, you know, Adaus Dascalus, I don't remember exactly, the ignorant schoolmaster. But of course, his idea was more radical because he thought that, in fact, you know, inequality could be only a matter of relations between the individuals. So that you know, it was possible to create a multiplicity of forms of equality between individuals, you know, in a society. So that equality is enacted everywhere, but at the same time, he said, you know, the global structures, you know, remain the structure of inequality. That really works as a kind of a theory of kind of gravitation, you know, of social things. I tried to get out of this simple opposition between individuals and collectives, you know, and to think still, you know, that yes, there is a fundamental asymmetry, you know, in the forms of activities and the forms of gatherings, the forms of community that are created by the verification of inequality of equality, you know, in a world where inequality is the rule. And this is also why, you know, I insisted, you know, on this idea of freedom, you know, as as a state of indistinction between and between ends and means, you know. Because what is you, what is, you know, in the heart of the critic of Jacques Cousteau that I took up is really the critic of the idea that, you know, through the ways of inequality, through the ways of capitalist production, or through the ways of the domination of the party, you know, you can get to a future equality. So my point is to rethink this idea of identity, of not identity, but of connection, of in a way indistinction, in a way of ends and means, you know. And what I mentioned, I mentioned, you know, the concept of free play. That was one of the first inventions, you know, of a new idea of freedom, you know, in the modern times, you know, in the aesthetic domain. And because I think that really there is a kind of strong connection, you know, with this idea of free play, you know, as an activity that has really its content in itself, you know. And the definition of perhaps of a free society, of a society where, well, the forces where the social forces, both the forces of the individuals and the social forces, you know, are really deployed, you know, in themselves and for themselves, and not as means, you know, of and over activity. And I think that, of course, this concept of play is quite ambiguous, you know. But very often it is said, for all manifestation, it was said for the 68 movements in France, for all those movements at that moment, it was said also about all the occupying movements. Well, it is just play, meaning the serious things come after. And of course, in France, last year we had a Nuit Debout, and people felt, well, okay, it's just play, because young people are happy to think that they are equal and free and that they are creating a new world, but after, of course, comes the presidential election, you know, and everything stops, you know. Well, but I think that we must give a positive sense, you know, to this idea of play, meaning not only we are here just for fun, but we are here to create a form of a form of common life, you know, when there is no more this kind of perpetual, you know, distance or perpetual deferment, you know, with the idea that okay, we are but to reach this point, we must go through this and that stage, you know, which means that we never arrive. So I think I think that there is some kind of perpetual, you know, disappointment, you know, in forms of action that seems that apparently doesn't really bring a new world, but I think it's important, you know, to maintain this idea that really the world of equality is created, is not created, you know, by specific moments, by specific temporalities, also specific breaches in the order of the world, you know.
He says that Zakan's here referred to the definition of communism by Karl Marx, by Jan Karl Marx. Also, Althusser has referred to the definition of communism in another point of Marx in German in the ideology, where communism is revived as the force that unravels the dominant order of state of things. And he refers to Balibar, who made another point of the diversification, and Derrida, who said that there is a spectral analysis of Marx, and of course with all these separating points they form a continuum, and he says that he's a professor from the University of Grenoble, which was founded by Fourier.
It was not founded by Fourier, but Fourier helped a lot in order to be renowned as it is now, and to produce afterwards the Polytechnic School where I obtained my PhD, and he was the father of the spectral analysis.
And he was the father of spectral analysis.
We can help you a lot.
That was the...
Just to say that well, my main point is precisely that there is no unity, you know, of the thinking of Marx, you know, and so of course I refer to that definition of communism as this process of humanization, you know, of the human senses in the Paris manuscripts, you know, you refer to the idea of communism as a real process, and there is a famous sentence in it, but communism is not an idea, it is a real process that abolishes, you know, the capitalist domination. Well, the fact is that it is today, you know, very difficult to think that communism exists as a force. As a force, you know, destroying by itself, you know, the capitalist domination. So that this is why, in a way, we are obliged perhaps to go back to the definition of communism as this humanization of the human senses. But basically, I think that precisely my point is that there are several Marx. You can construct, you know, several Marx and several Marxism, and of course you can make a spectral analysis. The point is, I think we have in fact to choose, you know, one Marx against another, or we have to construct, you know, several forms of Marxism. This is my point, because in the time of Althusser was the idea that communism was a kind of whole body, you know, of thinking, including a philosophy, a science, a politics, etc. And my point is, Marxism has many theories is made of blocks, you know, and there is not necessarily a unity between those blocks.
You spoke about the free social spaces in the form of collectives and cooperatives as the new cell of resistance and social and political organization. And you also spoke of the internal problems and the external threats that these forms of organizing can face. I believe that most of the people in this room share this position, that these places can be important cells of this resistance. But for all of us who share this position, the question is, how do we move beyond the constraints, spaces, and the scope of these collective activities into a more global movement of emancipation that would take a more universal form or shape and would expand to a more universal way of being. So how do you propose that these internal problems and external threats that you mentioned could be addressed in order to move to what is the solution or the dositumen?
As I said, I have no solutions, because I think if there were easy solutions, they would have been found, you know, not expecting me, of course. But I think that really the problems today is twofold problem. In a way, I would say that perhaps a problem that has not been solved, you know, in any of the recent movements, you know, in several places of the world, is it possible to create some kind of political organization or some kind of political collective, you know, that can federate, you know, all those experiments, that can create some kind of federation and create a force, you know, that can have a say, you know, on the public stage, you know, dealing with general problems of society and problems of equality and freedom, and not only, of course, of their own experiments. Well, I think uh, I think uh, it, it has well. If it was easy, it would have been done, you know. But I think it must be possible, you know. Well, to overthrow this kind of alternative, you know, ever we are doing our own affair, our own social space, you know, or we are obliged, you know, to get into, you know, the electoral game and the game of all those parties who want precisely to recuperate, you know, all those movements. Well, I think it should be possible, but. I know, really, it's a kind of wishful thinking, you know. But I think it must be possible to try to define some things like a kind of program, a program of action, you know, which is not a program for elections, you know. But because usually, you know, there is either, you know, on the one end, you know, the inner process, you know, of the free spaces, or you know, the global stage. But I think it should be possible to create a kind of global stage, you know, which is beyond, you know, all those particular spaces, you know, but not integrated, you know, in the struggle for power, you know. I think it should be possible to be a kind of power that doesn't look for power.